Today on Annenberg Radio News.
See something about your culture or see something about humanity that will touch you, make you laugh, and make you want to see more.
Hear about a month-long festival celebrating Latino culture, art, and theater. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014. I'm Carrie Poppy. Today is the National Day of Protest Against Police Brutality. Several people are gathered at the LAPD headquarters right now in an effort to prevent acts of brutality from happening in the future. We have Hyphy on the phone, who's on site right now. Hi, Hyphy, what's happening there?
Hi, Carrie. Yes, we are here at the LA headquarters, and hundreds of people are gathered here to demand justice and liberation for everyone. Also, they just named everyone that have been killed by the police, and they demand that they want no more names to be called out. They want justice and they want peace. Also, what they are chanting now is no more, it stopped today. We refuse to live this way. I've spoken to family members saying that their sons, uncles, dads, fathers have been murdered innocently by the police, and they say that it matters to everyone because it could be your family member next.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounds like a pretty intense situation. Have the police responded at all?
They've responded. They haven't spoken specifically on this issue, but all they say that they are here to ensure and facilitate a safe and peaceful demonstration. So far, it has been peaceful protests so far.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. All right. Thanks for checking in, Hyphy.
Thank you. Bye, Carrie.
The United Farm Workers Union led about 100 people today on a noisy but orderly march to the Los Angeles City Council. The union members were demanding that a large Central Valley's food producer honor its contract with its workers. NG Young found that union supporters are ready to press their demands.
Hundreds of farm workers backed by union members and clergy march today from Our Lady of the Angels Cathedral to the LA City Council chambers to demand that Garowan, a prominent vegetable and fruit grower, respect its workers. The state has filed a lawsuit against the company, alleging that many of the workers were not even paid minimum wage.
Mark Grossman, spokesman, United Farm Workers of America. These workers, about 100 of them, have come from Fresno County. They left at about 3 in the morning to be welcomed to City Hall. The company already owes millions of dollars to these workers in pay increases and other benefits.
In the crowd was Jerry Ryan, a man in his 60s, has been a longtime supporter of the union.
I'm very supportive of it because my wife used to work in the fields. And she used to pick grapes, and she understands. She went through the same thing they were going through, and she got a union contract with the United Farm Workers, and that allowed a decent wage to be paid to her and decent working conditions in the future.
The state lawsuit alleges that the company has a long history of trying to break up efforts to unionize. It allegedly spied on its workers and intimidated them in an effort to undermine the contract. The UAW's campaign has drawn broad support from other labor organizations. Sherry Bill, coordinator of the Black Workers Center, says,
"We're here to support the farm workers who are being pretty much exploited, and their rights to organize are being threatened. So we're here to support better working conditions."
Garowan workers are appealing to consumers to push the company to abide by the contract. In Jiang, Annenberg Radio News.
You might have noticed that getting an Uber driver was hard today. Well, that's because in Santa Monica, Uber drivers were protesting against the APP's rating system, higher wages, safety, and driver treatment. Phoenix So talked to some drivers and a representative from the Teamsters Union, 986.
It's really hard to make enough money.
It's so drastic that it just doesn't cover it. And then what happens when you drive more? More wear and tear, more gas, more expenses.
They're changing the rates all the time. They're changing the percentage all the time. The workers don't have a say.
The protest was started by some of the unhappy drivers who formed groups such as the Teamsters Union and social media groups like Uber Drivers Network NYC, who organized a protest last September. The ACLU says San Bernardino County is denying LGBT inmates access to work programs and health care. The civil rights group filed a federal lawsuit today against the county and its sheriff's department. The complaint says LGBT prisoners are kept from programs that would reduce their sentences and subjected to harassment by staff. The ACLU says county policy violates inmates' 14th Amendment right to equal protection. Testimony continues today in the trial of Javier Bolden, who is accused of murdering two USC students from China. Several witnesses were questioned today, including one who used cellular data that could help make the case a little clearer. We have Rebecca Gibeon, who's at the trial right now. Rebecca?
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, what's going on there?
Not much. The trial just wrapped up, so all the jurors were told to leave, and they'll be coming back tomorrow for some closing statements.
And what'd you see today?
So most of the trial today, as you said, was based around cell phone use and cell phone information. The prosecutor called up a bunch of witnesses who all validated the idea that once you buy a phone, that phone and everything you do on it can be tracked. So the key witness was Detective Sean Hansen, whose evidence showed that Bolden and the accomplice Brian Barnes' phones were both used at 12:55 a.m. the morning of April 11th, which is the morning of the crime. They called each other, and whoever was on the phone talked for about 6 minutes. For reference, the murders then took place around 1 a.m.
Okay.
After the call was over, Barnes and Bolden's cell phones, along with the cell phones of the victims, moved together, and they ended up at Barnes's house.
All right.
So that's the prosecutor. Meanwhile, the defense attorney was saying, you know, you are showing that his phone was there, but you have no proof Bolden was there.
All right. Okay, great. Thank you for that wrap-up, Rebecca.
Thanks, Carrie. Have a good day.
You too. The Los Angeles City Council took a step toward changing the way city elections are held. The council agreed to draft a ballot measure to hold city voting in even years to coincide with federal and state elections. Council members hope that will increase voter turnout. Martha Daniel reports on the effort to get more people to the polls.
As campaign spending in California increases, voter turnout is decreasing. Numbers have dropped steadily since 2001, when less than 40% of registered voters cast their ballots in the general mayoral election. In 2013, that number dropped to less than 25%, the lowest showing since 1946. The Los Angeles City Ethics Commission says turnout is at a crisis level that threatens public confidence in city government. Some blame voter fatigue, too many elections, referendums, runoffs. Some voters say they are also put off by the traffic and waiting lines at the polls. Poll workers are trying to get a better showing from Latino and African American communities. The City of Los Angeles Municipal Elections Reform Commission has proposed several measures to encourage voter turnout. For example, changing election years to match federal elections, adding more voting locations, promoting voting by mail, and expanding the use of technology. Young voters say these are all good ideas, but that their main inconvenience is time and travel. Elsie Gutierrez is a student at USC.
The mail-in, like, through your home would be convenient because I like my mom does the mail-in because she doesn't like having to travel to go vote and like the long lines to like get registered and stuff.
Some think the ideal solution would be an online system. Dina Katab just voted for the first time.
We have like mail-in ballots and that's just really cumbersome. So I think if there was like a system online where you can somehow like validate your identity and vote, that would be really great.
In August, the Ethics Commission proposed a lottery system with possible cash prizes upwards of $1,000. The system could be put in place in 2015, but you gotta vote to win. Martha Daniel, Annenberg, Radio News.
The election is just under 2 weeks away, and this morning, our political podcaster Max Schwartz spoke with assessor candidate Jeffrey Prang.
The assessor is an important position in any county, but especially in Los Angeles County because of the large number of properties. If you still aren't convinced, this election could be a game changer because the current assessor, John Nogas, is awaiting trial for corruption. A new assessor will be elected on November 4th. When county residents go to the polls, they will have a choice between Jeffrey Prang and John Morris. I interviewed Prang on my podcast, The Hot Seat. He's a career government administrator who's already in the assessor's public affairs unit. Even though he works for Nogas, he says he and others on the reform team have already started to win back the public's trust, but that there's more work to do if he's elected.
I'm going to ensure that we have annual audits, management, fiscal, and programmatic audits, and make those audits public so the people can really understand what it is that we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're doing it.
Prang also says he'll work with the county supervisors to get up-to-date technology and work with employees to make them better managers. You will be able to listen to my interview with Prang in its entirety on AnnenbergRadio.org. Max Schwartz, Annenberg Radio News.
It's 80 degrees and sunny, unlike yesterday when it was 79 and sunny, but don't get too comfortable. Tomorrow it's going to be 82 and sunny, and Friday is 84 and sunny before a massive cold front moves in on Saturday, bringing us down to a freezing cold 77 degrees and mostly sunny. Later on Annenberg Radio News, listen to one teacher's trip that was out of this world. Encuentro 2014 is billed as the biggest gathering of Latino theater artists in the country. On the event's opening night, reporter Ana Gonzalez talked to Karine Zacharias, one of the creators of the month-long festival and also the playwright behind Mariela in the Desert.
Encuentro is the brainchild of José Luis Valenzuela, who's here at the Latino Theater Company. We met up in Washington about 2 years ago, and we were talking about ways of bringing the Latino story to the forefront, no longer, you know, keeping it as a small story, but as a story part of the American narrative. And he said, I've been thinking about throwing a huge national festival. I'd like it to be a month long with artists from all over the country and all the different kind of aesthetics of plays. There's huge diversity within our culture, and this festival, this encuentro, celebrates that.
Cuando me fui del desierto, no tenía 15 años. El taller de mi padre se había hecho cenizas, como mi hermano.
Mariela en el Desierto, or Mariela in the Desert, is a story, I think, about almost every Latin American woman. I had so many people come up to me and say, Mariela was my mother, Mariela was my grandmother, Mariela was my sister. It's about the sacrifices a woman does to keep her family healthy and alive.
Todas las galerías de México, Francia, y los Estados Unidos.
Even though Mariela en el Desierto is in Spanish, there are super titles, kind of like a foreign film, but in plays. So people who don't speak the language have found it very accessible. And people who want to surround themselves with the beauty that is el castellano, and really celebrate the language, can also be there and hear it. So we have students of Spanish, Spanish speakers, non-Spanish speakers coming to see the play because it's accessible in that way. This is an opportunity to see over 26 productions. Some are only here for 2 weeks. Mariela en el Desierto is only here for the first 2 weeks. So come and see some great plays. See something about your culture or see something about humanity that will touch you, make you laugh, and make you want to see more.
Karine Zacharias is creator of Encuentro 2014. Mariela in the Desert will perform this week at Los Angeles Theater Center. For other performances, go to the website latc.org. The rally against alleged LAPD corruption that you heard about earlier in this broadcast was partly led by Reverend Frank Wolfe of the United University Church in downtown Los Angeles. Before Reverend Wolfe left for the demonstration, he spoke with me about the history of the rally and why he believes the war on drugs is a losing battle.
So this march, the October 22nd march against police brutality, is many, many years old. What's different this year is that we've added the issue of mass incarceration as a part of that, of the concern, the focus of this march. Because, you know, the United States imprisons more people than any other nation on earth, even China. We have an inordinate number of African Americans, Latinos, and Native Americans who are being incarcerated. They only make up about 17-18% of the population whole, but they make up 34 to 35% of the prison population.
Yeah, that is shocking, isn't it? What can someone do who cares about that issue, but who's isn't involved in law enforcement, doesn't know how to make a change?
Well, I think we have to speak as a people. We have to say that this has to stop. That we cannot continue to use imprisonment in this kind of way. We know that white people commit crimes at much the same rate as African Americans, Latinos, and Native Americans, and yet they certainly are not incarcerated at the same rate. So there seems to be a racist component. So we need to say no. We need to say it clearly. We found out through the demonstrations in the 1960s and 1970s that when the people gather together to say no, that the politicians do listen.
That's true. History speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So, Reverend, how did you get involved in this work?
Well, two ways, really. One is I got appointed as the pastor of this church at United University Church. And what I learned right away was that there were members of my congregation who were being caught up. One person in particular was arrested because of having a tiny little amount of crack cocaine. He was not only thrown into jail for an extended period of time, but then he was actually threatened with up to 8 years of imprisonment for having this less than a gram of crack cocaine. I know him, he's a decent human being. He's a good man. He's got a problem. What he really needed was the care of a community, and he needed some kind of treatment. So in terms of dealing with these people, knowing these people, understanding who they are, recognizing that they're good people who have problems and need help, I began to wonder, about our system. I realized that I needed to do something. I needed to speak out.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much and keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks so much.
That was Reverend Frank Wolf of the United University Church. On January 28, 1986, the world watched as the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded, 73 seconds after launching into the stratosphere. All 7 crew members were killed. Barbara Morgan, a school teacher, was selected to fly on the next shuttle after the accident. So on August 8, 2007, 21 years after the Challenger disaster, Morgan strapped into the Endeavour. The space shuttle stood 5 stories high. 2 rocket boosters and an external tank filled with liquid hydrogen and oxygen were fastened to the spacecraft. Morgan recently spoke about her experience with the Endeavour exhibit at the California Science Center. She told Detour's reporter Kristen Marguerite Deutsch how she had weighed the risks but was ready to go.
15.
Firing Jane armed. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, go for main engine start, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Endeavour, expanding the International Space Station while creating a classroom in space.
Houston Endeavour, ready program.
Roger, roll, Endeavour.
Houston now controlling the flight of Endeavour. The Space Shuttle begins its journey back into orbit. Endeavour rolling onto the proper alignment, heads down, wings level.
When you climb in on the real launch date and there's all this and creaking and moaning and groaning going on, you feel like you're strapping into a live bird. It gives a whole new meaning to surround sound. It's really cool. You know, a lot of people said, were you scared? And I can honestly tell you, no, you won't be scared. You are so ready to go. You and your crewmates have been studying and learning and practicing for years. You are really ready to go. And you're accelerating to 17,500 miles an hour. That's 5 miles a second. Think about that for a minute. Picture someplace 5 miles away from where you know, right, like from school or whatever, and imagine starting like at school, going to that place 5 miles away and getting it there in 1 second. I mean, that's literally go, stop. Okay, so that's the speed you're traveling. And my colleagues told me, Barb, when you launch, it's gonna feel like a 2-ton gorilla jumping up and down on your chest. But I definitely felt this huge push on my back. Didn't hurt, but it was like this big hand of God just pushing you as fast as you can go into space. So you have this huge push on your back. It almost felt like the orbiter could push through you and leave you behind, but it didn't. It carries you with it.
The throttle up call acknowledged by Commander Scott Kelly, joined on the flight deck by pilot Charlie Hobaugh, flight engineer Rick Mastracchio and Tracy Caldwell, Dave Williams, Al Drew, and Barbara Morgan seated down on the mid-deck, Morgan racing towards space on the wings of a legacy.
When you're on the solid rocket boosters, it That's where that two-ton gorilla comes in. There's a lot of vibration going on. It's really loud. You are so glad to finally get going. And I was so excited because I knew in a couple days we would be at the International Space Station. And there's some hooting and hollering going on because everybody's excited about the ride. And I had a huge smile on my face, which I like to see was kind of plastered back there by that acceleration.
We're coming up on the point of negative return, where the shuttle will be too far downrange, too high in altitude to return to the launch site in the event of an engine failure.
Endeavor, two engine Marone.
And then once we get rid of the solid rocket boosters, the ride is really, really smooth and very, very quiet. You're still accelerating and you're experiencing 3 G's, 3 times Earth's gravity, so there's that push. After 8.5 minutes when you reach space, we shut off the main engines, so, and we get rid of the fuel tank. And at that point, it's really fun because there is no up or down in space. And all of a sudden, what was your ceiling now becomes a wall. And so you unstrap, and you and everything that hasn't been tightly strapped down just floats out. Floating is really fun because it really is like flying in your dreams. For those of you that have flown in your dreams, maybe when you were a kid, it's very much what it feels like. At that point, it's really interesting because you're still going 5 miles a second, but because you're not accelerating anymore, it feels like you're not going anywhere at all. You're in this free fall around the Earth.
That was reporter Kristen Deutsch for Detours. Now it's time to hear the sounds of another place that's uniquely Los Angeles.
Sonic City! Sonic City!
We're at Amoeba Music in Hollywood. It is the world's largest independent record store. We sell a little bit of everything. I mean, anything related to music. We sell concert tickets, vintage posters, t-shirts, patches, stickers, all kinds of cool stuff. It's an institution, and it's a tourist destination that people come to, and it's, I mean, there's regulars that come in a couple times a week digging through the bins, so you gotta come in and experience it for yourself.
Sonic City!
Now we check in with Jeremy Chen to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks,
hi, Jeremy.
Thanks, Carrie. Coming up on ATVN, USG is rolling out a new campaign to revamp Lion Center in order to improve the USC fitness facility. Reporter Latifa Alhaza explains why. Next, the highest performing elementary school in Los Angeles now has a new home. Reporter Mark Love shows us where the Kip Empower Academy will be. And the USC Trojan Marching Band has just been named the best collegiate band by USA Today. My co-anchor Maddie Mills finds out how the band is able to attain that ranking.
Oh, that's exciting.
I know. All this and more coming up at 6.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy.
No problem.
Children at an elementary school near USC got a special visit this morning. Today was the start of the Reading Makes a Difference literacy program, where kids read to help other kids. Taylor Haney reports. Yeah!
The students of Weems Elementary School are getting ready to read. Today, kids will start a 3-week read-a-thon, earning books and dolls for children in local hospitals.
You're going to read as much as you can.
Barbara Saltzman is running the show today. She's executive director of the Jester and Farley Fund, a nonprofit dedicated to literary outreach and helping sick children. She says the response from kids has been overwhelming.
So we've been doing it now for 13 years. We've been to over 200 schools, and kids in this program have read more than 31 million pages just to help other children.
The program is funded by a USC Good Neighbors campaign grant. Taylor Haney, Annenberg Radio News.
That's it for this Wednesday. We had help today from ATVN, Martha Daniel, Shraddha Murali Darun, Phoenix So, J.D. Maldonado, and Danya Zhu.
Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Camille Rocchiestas is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Victor Figueroa. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Carrie Poppy.